Rob than all. Thank you.
Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. This is the Health and Nutrition Program. John Butts is here. He's back after a short absence. It's good to see John. Tanya's taking the week off. She will be back in 2 weeks. And Dr. Fred Harvey is going to be along in about 15 minutes. We've got a little bit of change of plans. We're going to hear more of that Democracy Now! Program right now. And so we'll hear more of the debate with Chris Hedges coming up in just a moment. This is 88.5 FM. We are fundraising here, and we're trying to raise, during these 4 hours of public affairs, $8,500. So we've got to hear from about 90 people. This hour, we want to hear from about 20 people. Sean Canan is here, and we're going to thank some people that called during the last hour. Connie Burchill from Venice, Florida, made a $26.25 donation, and she loves all the programs on MNF. Thank you to Anonymous in Sarasota, making a $21 contribution. Melanie Harding from Bradenton made a $45 contribution, and Anthony from Winter Haven made a $25 contribution. By the way, Melanie says, keep telling the truth the way things really are. And so thanks to Anthony and Melanie and everybody that's called in so far. Sean, you've got some people to thank.
I do. Harold and Lisa Gillette from St. Petersburg have contributed $400. They're going to get a T-shirt, so thank you for that contribution. Also, Jane and Gary Gibbons from St. Pete are contributing $120.
Thank you.
They say the damage to our democracy caused during the last 4 years through the constant barrage of lies and disinformation coupled with heightened attacks on journalists and the media make it more important than ever to support investigative reporting of news and public affairs. There's no place other than WMNF that makes this vital commitment to our community. WMNF deserves our financial support with gratitude. So thank you so much, Jane and Gary. And also John McEwen has contributed $60 from Pinellas Park. So thank you for everyone who's contributed so far.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we'd like to hear from you. WMNF.org or you can go on to the WMNF app and hit the tip jar right there.
Well, MNF does stand for something. We can't stand for peace and equality and social justice. We've stood for values, strong values that you agree with since 1979, since we first went on the air. And we're trying to be that voice of peace and freedom on the air, although, you know, it's hard because so much commercial radio, when there is talk on it, leans far, far to the right and still makes claims that the election was stolen. Well, that is undermining confidence in our democracy and undermining the very existence of our democratic form of government. We're trying to undo that and trying to give you something solid you can listen to, something fact-based you can listen to, and listen to thoughtful conversations with authors and people that have been on the front lines of social change. So please support this radio station that is unlike no other here in the Tampa Bay area, whether it's local news, state news, national news, or international news. We've got you covered here in a way that no other radio station of our size can do. So please, we are a small radio station. We have a budget of about $1.7 million a year, and these fund drives are essential to keeping us on the air. So please help keep this fund drive successful by making a contribution online at WMNF.org.
Yeah, we'd like to hear from you. If you're a fan of the news and public affairs programming that we bring you every single weekday from 9 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon, and that's really important to a lot of people, and we're seeing some of that support today. We've already gotten 30 or more donations, and we do need to hear from you. We'd like to get 20 contributions this hour. That means with your support of the Sustainable Living Program and Health and Nutrition, you can make your contribution right now, whether it's a $50 donation or a $500 donation or a $5 Circle of Friends sustaining contribution. Any of that, we would love to have your support. 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org.
Well, we're listening to a debate right now about censorship, and censorship is not exactly the right word, but by the social media groups that are preventing people from communicating freely. And we're listening to a debate on Democracy Now! We're going to continue that debate for the next few minutes, and then we'll come back and hear from Dr. Fred Harvey, and John Butts is back. So let's hear more of the debate from Democracy Now! And in this hour, we hope to hear from 20 people making contributions to help us stay alive.
Professor Srinivasan, if you can respond to this. And also, let's just point out that Twitter's move didn't start with the leadership. It started with 300 Twitter employees signing a petition calling for him, Trump, to be permanently banned, saying we must examine Twitter's complicity in what President-elect Biden has rightly termed insurrection. Those acts jeopardize the well-being of the United States, our company, and our employees.
I mean, that itself is a great example of how publicly unaccountable a company like Twitter is. And that is true across the board when it comes to big tech companies. Big tech companies have become our private corporations that we're talking about, some of the wealthiest corporations in the history of the world. During this pandemic alone, hundreds of billions of dollars have been made primarily by tech magnates. That is really important to point out. And that's only going to be the new normal as we head toward, you know, climate crises, possible future pandemics, and so on. But I very much agree with the point that was made by Mr. Hedges. Twitter is self-serving. These big tech companies are self-serving. There are many right-wing trolls who are going viral as we speak on Twitter right now. All of these technology platforms, powered by their hidden algorithms that are indeed opaque, thrive on the amplification of polarization, the amplification of attention. They are able to computationally predict what will grab our eyeballs. And the disorienting, propagandist, hateful kinds of content that comes out of President Trump on Twitter makes him an incredible ally. And that is why it's extremely important for us to take note of the much larger issue, which is our public lives, our economic lives, our political lives, even our intimate lives, our behavioral lives, are all governed by private technology companies that know far more about us than we will ever know about them. And that's why I believe we really need to transform and regulate technology companies in the image of justice and balance and compassion.
But what about Chris Hedges' concern that, yes, they're turning on Trump right now, who they have enormously profited from over the years, but next it may well be you?
Oh, absolutely. There is no public governance. There is no public accountability. It could be any of us, Amy. It was with WikiLeaks, as Chris Hedges pointed out. It is incredible how much power we have given to a very small number of people who are essentially mediating pretty much every aspect of our lives. And I really believe that this is why we need true regulatory intervention at this time. And we're at a very unique moment when it comes to these issues. We have a large-scale agreement across the American population, and actually in many cases around the world, to do something about these issues with big tech.
Well, Chris Hedges, not all speech in this country is to say the least, simply allowed. I mean, you're not supposed to be able to yell fire in a crowded theater, for example. As you pointed out, you yourself have been warning for years about American fascism. How does President Trump, the support for this insurrection, not fall into that category for you?
Because he doesn't specifically call for violence. And, this goes back to the attempt on the state of Mississippi to go after the NAACP for violence that had been carried out, trying to blame the NAACP for this violence. And it went all the way up to the Supreme Court, I think, 1982. And they ruled, it was a unanimous decision, that this kind of speech, the kind of speech that Trump laid out, is actually protected, and even if it results in violence, they can't go after the person who carried out that speech. So, if you give a strong speech against segregation, and that there is some kind of violence carried out, you're not responsible. So, I think that I would love to see Trump impeached. Ralph Nader and Bruce Fein have drawn up a list of 12. Real impeachable offenses, not just a shakedown of the Ukraine. But of course, I think the Democratic Party has been complicit in this administration. They could have impeached Trump the first week just on the emoluments clause alone, the perpetuation of 9 wars, if we count Yemen, that were never declared by Congress. But they didn't do it because they saw Trump as a fundraising tool. The media has made tons of money off of Trump. Again, as was pointed out, the digital platforms love Trump as essentially keeping people on their platforms, again, profit-driven. And now we've ended up in the final week of the Trump administration with people attempting to respond to the deterioration of the American political system and the judiciary and the checks and balances and everything else. But I think that the clearly, if we kind of coldly read what Trump said to his supporters, he didn't call for people to break into the Capitol and take people hostage.
Certainly he and his family, in just the speeches alone at this rally, as he talked about, he would be with them. But of course, then he sneaked back to the White House and was not with them. But they talked about trial by combat. They talked about getting Republicans who were not standing up for Trump. And you see all of the responses as he watched what took place. The massive violence at the Capitol. Trump tweeted, "We love you, your special people." Ramesh Srinivasan, what do you want to see as you support Trump being banned permanently from Twitter to come from this? What do you see happening? Also, Stripe has said they won't process his credit cards. You've got Shopify, which he uses. Well, you know, money matters, to say the least, to Trump. And you've got Reddit, you've got Snapchat, you've got YouTube, all of these taking Trump down.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that the solution to all to this issue and any future issues comes from hoping that Twitter does the right thing. Twitter has decided to ban Trump, and the other tech companies are now cutting bait with Trump because it's just gone a step too far, and they all recognize the Biden administration is incoming. I really think that what we need to do is, long before we get to this point, have public audit, public intervention, and public accountability into technology companies. So, you know, this is what I've been calling a digital bill of rights. But basically what I'm talking about here is we need to have full disclosure over what is being collected about us, how that which is being collected about us is influencing what we see. We need to have the ability for third parties to have audit, you know, continuous audit over these technology platforms. We need to rein in some aspects, not fully, of Section 230 of the 1996 Communications Decency Act, which basically provides online content providers basically no liability, just full protection to post and publish whatever they wish to. But long before we get to this point, any pieces of content, for example, that are likely to go viral or that the tech companies are going to make go viral should be some kind of audit kind of process. And these algorithms are thriving. That power all of these systems thrive on amplification, spectacle, and disinformation. And they really need to be reined in and transformed in the interest, in the public interest, in the democratic interest. But also, to my point earlier, technology companies are not simply about our political lenses into the world, but are also deeply influencing issues of economic justice and social justice. And we have to ensure, because the internet was publicly funded, that all of these tech companies are resting upon publicly funded infrastructure that was based on all of us paying for, that they are publicly accountable. They have to be dedicated to the public interest, and we have to do everything we can, especially at this time when there's a lot of attention on this issue, to push something that is far more progressive than just, you know, hoping for some good step to be taken here and there when it's self-serving.
Before we go, Chris Hedges, the judge ruling over Julian Assange's extradition case has just denied him bail. The decision came 2 days after the judge rejected a U.S. bid for his extradition. The WikiLeaks founder must stay in prison while the U.S. appeals the decision. Your latest article is headlined, "The Empire is Not Done with Julian Assange." We just have a minute, but talk about the significance of what's taken place in Britain right now, the judge ruling he will not be extradited to the United States.
Because of a health risk because she feels he could commit suicide. There's that potential in the barbarity of the prison system. But on everything other point, every other charge, she agreed with the U.S. Prosecutors. And that's ominous because, in essence, she legitimized legally the right of the American government to seize anyone. Julian Assange is not a U.S. citizen. WikiLeaks is not a U.S.-based publication who publishes U.S. secrets and carry out extraordinary rendition to haul them back to the United States. It's clear that they are going to let him sit in this high-security prison. Remember, he's being held there on a bond issue, a bail issue. He should have been out a long time ago. He is physically and psychologically in a very precarious state, and I think there's a lot of people who feel that they're going to just keep him locked up there because the U.S. will appeal for months and months until he disintegrates physically and emotionally.
We have 20 seconds, Chris Hedges. What you want to say right now?
What's that?
We have 10 seconds. What you want to see right now for Julian Assange?
Well, Julian Assange is probably the most important publisher, of the last few decades. He represents everything that I care about in terms of shining a lens into the inner workings of power and exposing the kinds of crimes of power and the fact that so many people have turned their back on him.
We're going to have to leave it there, Chris Hedges. We thank you so much for being with us, and Ramesh Srinivasan. I'm Amy Goodman.
You are not going to hear a debate of that quality anywhere else on radio or TV anywhere in the country except here on Democracy Now! There is nuance, and there are important other issues out there, and so we hope that you support Democracy Now! Please call us at 813-238-8001. It's not a hard, fast, black and white issue. There is nuance, and Amy Goodman captures that nuance so exquisitely. Please make your contribution now at 813-238-8001. This hour, we'd like to hear from 20 people, and a lot of people have called in the last 15 minutes. We want to thank them. I want to also mention that the mayor of Washington, D.C. is holding a press conference right now, and she's making a statement urging Americans not to go to Washington, D.C. for next Wednesday's inauguration. She is worried about possible terror attacks, and she is urging Americans not to go to Washington, D.C. for next week's inauguration. That gives you some idea of how weighty these times are. Have you ever lived through anything like this? None of us have ever lived through anything like this. So please support the radio station that brings you solid information, information that you can count on. Call us at 813-238-8001.
Rob, I'd like to thank the people who have already donated this hour. I'd like to thank Anonymous, and $88.50 contribution is getting the t-shirt. Says, Democracy Now! Is so important, but I listen to WMNF all day at work, every day. You're an important information source and artist support for the greater community. Thank you so much. Also, Joe from Tarpon Springs has donated $21.22. And Joe says, Lori and Joe from Tarpon Springs enjoy staying up to date with Democracy Now!, Radioactivity, and Midpoint. Thank you and Happy New Year. Thank you for your contribution. Also, Anonymous from St. Pete, $26.25 contribution, says, in support of the weekly morning news and public affairs, and they may have a match from their employer, Frontier Communications, so thank you for that. Also, Anne from Bradenton is donating $25. Thanks, Anne. And Brittany's marriage from St. Petersburg, $60 contribution, is getting our renewable grocery bag, and she says, I appreciate having you all on the air. So thank you for those people who have already donated. Now we'd like to hear from you, 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org.
Sean, I got some really good news. With those donations, we need less than 15 calls this hour. And we're waiting for the first call during this break, pledge break, at 813-238-8001. You know what a great job Amy Goodman does, and you know how important that show is that we carry every day at 9 o'clock on our main channel and then on our HD3 channel at 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. You know how important that show is. Please keep Please keep it on the air here on WMNF. Thanks to James and Anna Cornoyer, I'm sorry about that, guys. They like Democracy Now!, making a $25 contribution. They're in Clearwater. Leslie Head is in St. Petersburg, making a $52.50 donation. Thank you, Leslie. And Judy Buck from Clearwater is making a $60 contribution and loves Frank's music show. Yeah, Frank does a great job Wednesday mornings. So thank you, Judy, very much. Jeff Carroll from Lutz. Jeff, thanks for your ongoing support and your longtime help here for WMNF. Thank you, Jeff, in Lutz for a $100 contribution. Anonymous is in Tampa, making a $52.50 donation. Thank you, Anonymous. And Jim List from Pasadena, Maryland. Jim, thank you for listening. I assume either online or maybe you're down here visiting, but thank you, Jim, for that nice $100 contribution. He's a 15-year listener and loves all the public affairs shows. Thanks, Jim. And Debbie Butts. Well, right. There's a great name. John Butts is here. Debbie, thank you for your nice support out there on the farm in Plant City. And it's great to hear from you. Sean, at this point, if we got five more donations this hour, we would reach the goal for this hour.
That would be fantastic. And you can help us do that by calling 813-238-8001. We have an anonymous contribution from Gulfport. $20 donation is getting the bumper sticker, so thank you for that. Also anonymous from Clearwater, $20. And anonymous says, likes Rob's and Amy's shows. Thank you for the note there. Jade Shuffler from Sarasota is contributing $25, says loves Democracy Now. It's a light in the darkness right now. Also Rebecca from Palm Harbor contributing $63 is getting a WMNF face mask. Rebecca says, I listen to Democracy Now! Every day on the app, as well as the morning drive time shows in the car and then on the app once I get to work. Love all the programming. Thank you so much for that contribution. And if you are listening on the app or you do appreciate it, you can just use the app to make your tip jar contribution. And you can also donate on the web at WMNF.org or by calling 813-238-8001. And thank you in advance for your contribution.
Sean, we just need four more donations this hour and we'll reach our goal. And that'll be a really strong showing of support for news and public affairs. Coming up in the next hour, we'll hear from a local congressman and he'll talk about the events of last Wednesday. A local congressman will be on in just a moment. And Sean, what do you have on at 1 o'clock today?
We're going to play a speech by Chris Hedges. He just gave a speech a few weeks, maybe about a month and a half ago. And he's going to...
And I said 1 o'clock, it's noon.
Noon, yeah, okay, sorry. I missed it. And yeah, so you just heard from Chris Hedges talking about Twitter and possible censorship or shutting down of accounts, but he's going to talk about a completely different topic about the future of the country, really, around the time of the 2020 election. And it's a really great speech. We played it a couple weeks ago on WMNF, and there was a really good response. And so I hope people can tune in at noon, and we're going to be giving away copies for your contribution of that speech by Chris Hedges. That's at noon.
That's going to be a really great show, so stick around. And that's on the Midpoint program with Sean Canaan today, and we'll be giving away those talks by Chris Hedges. But we got to, we're hoping that Fred Harvey will call us in just a moment. Dr. Fred Harvey, who's usually here every other Monday, and this is the week for sustainable living. And John Butts is in the house, and he went into retirement, and now he's back for at least maybe 1 week, and maybe he'll do guest appearances. Sean, thanks, and we'll talk to you next hour. And John Butts is here, who is a farmer and lives a sustainable lifestyle and was the original host of the Sustainable Living Program for many, many years. And John retired because, well, I won't say why, but...
Because he was tired.
But John is back, and we're going to try to pitch and try to get some support for the great work that John Butts does, that Tanya Vidovic does, that Jungle Jay did before he retired last week or 2 weeks ago, and also for the Dr. Fred Harvey, health and nutrition program that is usually on every other Monday at 10 o'clock. So, John, welcome back. Great to see you. You have a nice mask on.
Yeah, great to be here, Rob. Obviously, I really miss the station, you know, but I always listen. I'm part of that community, you know. It's kind of like that social distance community that we have here at WMNF, and I really, really enjoyed all the programming and listened in on Tanya and Jay and really enjoyed that. great to be here. You know, we were, Sean was talking about the Chris Hedges speech, and I guess he had one in September or something, and they aired that a couple of times on AR and in this station, and it's very telling how sustainable living more than ever is so important, and the topics we cover is, you know, it's just about earth-friendly stuff, and it's a lot, it's just everything that we need to do to kind of reverse where we're going. We need to stop, but, you know, eventually we need to kind of change everything and reverse it and make it kind of the other way.
Well, the topics that you guys have covered on sustainable living over the years, solar energy, you've given a lot of advice about gardens, if you want to have a backyard garden, and you've done a lot about composting and making sure the soil is the best for, mm-hmm. for gardening. I can remember great programs about native plants and the right trees to plant and when is the best time to trim your trees and what trees are going to survive the hurricane the best. But your work on solar energy and your work on sustainable farming, you've done recycling, you've mm-hmm. done sustainable clothing.
Those were really fun shows. So many of them. And I don't know if you remember the one, the last one we had a couple of seamstresses in here. And of course, they were these beautiful women, these really neat hairdos. But they were really, you know, these guests like those, they were all into, you know, they understand the trouble in other countries with sweatshops. And they interjected that into the conversation with the local issues and stuff. And it was such a fun program. You would never think, well, sustainable clothes. Wait a minute, John, where are you going? And like Tanya, you know, talking about death to diapers. I don't know if you remember that show.
Yeah.
But then, too, the guests and you know, like, you know, having Alan Savory on. Remember him? And we had Don Gartless and talking about his electric dragsters, you know. And it's really a lot of fun to do this show. And it's such an honor, you know, to talk to these folks. You know, like, oh, you're talking to me.
Yeah, Don Gartless was great because he lives in Ocala. Is Don still alive?
Well, I'm not sure. Yeah. I haven't heard anything to the...
As a kid growing up and getting the Boy Scout magazine, and he was always, for some reason, he was always in the Boy Scout magazine that I got. And, you know, famous racer. Uh-huh. And then just a few years ago, decided to get into racing electric cars, which... Yeah. You know, John, I finally went out and got a hybrid, and I am so happy I bought a hybrid. But it was partly because I talked to so many people on your show who were talking about hybrids and the hybrid technology. I am so happy. I only fill up like once every 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm saving like an enormous amount of money on gasoline.
And then the tanks are so tiny, you know. You think, well, how can I do this? But it was so funny. I mean, it's so cool doing programs. And we had the guy from Tampa Bay Hybrids, Todd, on the show. And to get the inside scoop, you know, he's going, well, you know, we've never done a brake job on a Prius. You know, and I'm thinking, wow. You know, and that's because of the regenerative braking, you know, and it's so cool, all the stuff. And it's just, you know, it's kind of like now, you know, I kind of, people that have like true electric cars, you know, it gets a little cold and you know, there's still a little, I mean, we got to go a little bit further and push it a little bit further, but that's the first step. And I always say, well, it's so easy. Pick up, you know, get Craigslist, you know, and go on there and check out, used electric Priuses. You can buy one for $3,000 or $4,000. And just like Todd was saying, he said, well, there isn't a more reliable car on the road.
And you've done a lot of programs about electric cars. And we learned a lot. We learned so much about solar installation. We learned so much about building houses that are energy efficient on this program. It's been an incredible... When did you start? When did you start the show?
Well, I think it was 2004. And remember then, it was like the old lead-acid cars. And I don't know if you remember, Rob, you used to drive this S10. It was converted and took the gas engine out of it, and it had an electric motor, and it had 21 batteries. So you had a load before you left, but I couldn't quite make it to the station, so I drove to the bus stop in Mango, and then I'd catch the bus to the station, and then I tried using electric bikes, and then finally I got enough money to buy a hybrid.
So my hybrid has a range of 550 miles.
Wow.
So one fill up,
what is it, Honda or?
I got a Toyota.
Toyota, yeah. Wow, that's unbelievable.
It's incredible. I mean, I would shout from the rooftops how great these cars are. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but you've done bees. We've done several programs about beekeeping.
Treatment-free beekeeping, you know, and it's really, really interesting. You know, bees are our pollinators, and you know, I get National Geographic, and I think it was last year that they had this, you know, whole thing about, you know, it's just unbelievable, all these insects that are dying. And, of course, bees are dying, too, and they're still using these crazy pesticides and that are killing bees all over the world. You know, matter of fact, I think you sent me a little article lately from The Guardian about this community out
in
west.
Nebraska.
And it's just, you know, it's just ridiculous what we do. You know, how can we spray Roundup on everything?
Yeah, people should look up that article. It's about how they're growing corn and ethanol to cut down on gasoline. But what they're doing is that they're spraying it with all sorts of neonicotinoids that kill bees. And then there's a processing plant in Nebraska.
Yeah.
That where all these piles of seeds that are treated with these neonicotinoids, and I'm not pronouncing it right, but that,
I think that's close.
It kills bees. And so for miles around this plant, the water's polluted, the bees are dead, the insects are dying. And these are commonly used pesticides that we use in this country that are banned in Europe because Europe knows it's dangerous to pollinators.
Mm-hmm. And just recently, I started reading about all the biomass that they're burning in these, like in New York City, and that is residue from, you know, commercial ag where it's been sprayed. So actually, they're burning the glyphosate, and it's, you know, like I said, I think it's all affecting our health. And
it's going,
you know,
everywhere.
Huh?
Well, the smoke contains glyphosate?
Yes. I mean, it doesn't seem to disappear like they say it does. And you know, like Bayer is kind of taking that over, and you can kind of understand why people are very apprehensive of supporting like these large corporations and then the medical companies that are producing these vaccinations, you know, like you're thinking, well, this company in the past, you know, just like the ones that have, you know, created this opioid epidemic, I can't even say it, but it's a crazy world and this is the reason WMNF is so good. It's because we try the hardest to get the truth to the people. There's no money involved here. We're not taking any money from anybody. A couple of underwriters.
Yeah,
Monsanto doesn't
advertise on the station. The phosphate companies don't underwrite the station.
Yeah.
So we're very, very independent, and that's because great people like Miles Conway in St. Petersburg has made a $25 contribution. He's helping us stay on the air. Thanks, Miles. Bob and Ann McLean from Brooksville have made a $105 contribution. Thank you, Bob and Ann. They like Amy Goodman and the news and the Saturday lineup all day. So great to hear from you.
Thank you.
Barbara Dravecki from Anna Maria. Barbara, great to hear from you. And she says, in honor of the great work the station does, thank you, Barbara. That's really great. Stan Busey has made a $60 contribution. Stan, thank you. Likes everything on MNF. Says, this is an important time to know what's going on, right, Stan? And Anonymous in Safety Harbor has just made a $120 contribution. And he says, we missed you, John. Welcome back, says Anonymous.
Thank you.
In Safety Harbor. So thank you. John, we just need to hear from about three more people, and we'll reach the goal for this hour. The number to call, 813-238-8001. John, you've done shows about chickens, too. I mean, a lot of people are thinking about raising their own chickens, and I remember a couple of times you brought chickens into the studio in violation of all the rules here. You kind of snuck them in, but it was great because we had the chickens here. Too bad we weren't on TV.
Participating.
But they were actually walking across the desk here. But you were talking, people had all sorts of questions because I think there are some city folks that want to learn about raising chickens, and I think there's people in the suburbs and people in the country here that want to learn how to raise their own chickens.
Yeah, and it's just, the chickens are kind of like the electric cars. When I started here, you know, there was no ordinances to allow people to have chickens in town. towns, and you know, one by one, you know, we started having that. And you know, chickens are, and I remember a long time ago, I was a young man, and I went up to Mayo, and this is where this thought kind of got in my mind about how sustainable chickens really can be, is these old farmers, you know, a farm family, and what they actually did, they had the chicken pen right outside their kitchen, outside the window, and they threw all their food scraps out there, and they pretty much raised their chickens on food scraps from, you know, like they didn't have many chickens, but it was a large family. And, you know, I thought, well, gee whiz, if we can do that, anybody can do that, you know, raise a, you know, have a little maggot ranch and, you know, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about the show is that you talk about, well, what's the best thing to feed chickens? Mm-hmm. Or if you have a hydroponic system, how do you set up a hydroponic system? You've done shows about that. The other great show is when you get the fruit tree people on,
you're talking about
some of the fruit that mm-hmm. grows here. Besides, I mean, we all love oranges, but there's a bunch of trees that you could plant that would help. You know, you could grow all sorts of fruiting trees and nut trees here.
You know, some of the funnest shows were when John Starnes was on.
He recently,
I guess a couple of years ago, had a house fire and passed away. But those were always fun, informative. You know, he was a writer there for the St. Petersburg paper, but John was a lot of fun, and it was so interesting. You know, John had given me some sweet potato slips, and it was kind of funny because Josh with the Heart in Polk County, you know, I thought, well, gee whiz, I'm going to try some of his slips, and of course, he was a friend of John Starnes, too, so here I'm buying these same slips that I've been using to start my sweet potatoes, but, you know, those were so cool shows, and he was so funny, and well, you know, like to have fun.
I mean, I always had this trouble, and I think a lot of people have the trouble, is how do you make your tree fruit? So mm-hmm. I had macadamia trees, and I was trying to get them to fruit, and then, you know, give us nuts, and then protect them from squirrels. Mm-hmm. So we had lots of discussions about mm-hmm. that. Avocado trees, how do you make the avocado tree give fruit? You had lots of good discussions about that. You had great discussions about public transportation and alternatives to driving a car. You did that many, many times.
I think that's this best opportunity for community is riding a bus, you know, to be able to sit there and see what your neighbors look like. And you know, it was always fun riding the buses when I did that for a little bit to come to the station, you know, and I thought, gee whiz, this is really a community building kind of sustainability, and you know, I really enjoyed it, and you know, I was really happy that you know, that funding referendum went through for the buses in Hillsborough County. I thought that was great. You know, it's a show of support from our community. You know, you figure, you know, 20 years ago, that wouldn't have never happened. You know, they'd be putting money in the stadium, but not for buses. But finally, people are, you know, you get on the highway and you got to realize there's something seriously wrong.
You did a couple of shows about hemp and its usefulness in things like
hemp house.
Yeah, the building materials. So it was a local guy who had, in Tarpon Springs, had mm-hmm. built a house made from hemp.
And we've gone so far from there, you know, and it's more and more. It's, I mean, you know, there it is. It's a recyclable, natural product. You know, what do we do? What do we need to be making stuff out of plastic and those kind of things when we have the ability, this old, but, you know, I guess that's, you know, the cotton industry didn't want hemp around, so, you know, that's where it went.
Well, if you enjoy the Sustainable Living Program with John and Tanya, please call us and make a contribution at 813-238-8001. This is the way we stay on the air. You can bet that Monsanto and the giant fertilizer companies are not going to support, underwrite a program that deals with sustainable living. John has been talking about organic farming every year he's been on the air since the early 2000s. Before that, we had an environmental program that was hosted by three great people, but they had to move on. Mm-hmm. So we had that program on for 7 or 8 years. It was really a terrific show. Then John stepped in and said, okay, I can handle it. And the reason why we like John so much and Tanya too, but John lives the life that he talks about. So you've got solar on your farm, you have a sustainable farm, you invite people to spend time with you, live with you, and learn the techniques of farming. And you've had so many people from community-based agriculture on. In the last 10 years, a bunch of places have popped up. Community-based agriculture has become a really big thing here in the Tampa Bay area, in part because you've championed it. And then a lot of people just figured out that, oh, yeah, we can get together and have a community farm.
Yeah, community gardens are such an asset and a great way. You know, if you don't know what you're doing, that's the place is find your local, because these people are very helpful. And like you say, right now, we've gone and on and on and on about a... getting that information out there, and these people are very good, and they, you know, that like Kitty Wallace and Karen out there, and you know, these people are very knowledgeable and are kind of the go-to people for information in our community.
Thanks to Elizabeth in Spring Hill, just made a contribution of $60, and she says M&F continues to be a friend to the community and a foe to fascism. Thank you, Elizabeth, for that.
Thank
nice
you.
Contribution. You're keeping us on the air. And speaking of great gardeners, Jim Kovaleski from Newport Richey. Jim, thank you. It's so great to hear from you.
Yeah.
And Jim is one of the great people who knows, I mean, he really knows how to put land to good use.
And he's been one of the best guests on this program. He always says, what if? Thank you very much, Jim.
And you know, I get hungry every time Jim posts pictures of his produce on the website.
He's quite an amazing guy. And go to YouTube, and he's got some great YouTubes. Jim.
Jim, thanks a lot. And he says, love Sean's work and wants to keep M&F on the air, making a $100 contribution. Ben Mercandante from Odessa has made a $25 contribution. Ben, thank you very much. He says, hey to John, and thanks for what we do here at WM&F. So, Ben, thanks for keeping us on the air.
Ben.
Rosemary and Bo Smith from Tampa just made a $100 contribution. Longtime listeners since the inception of the station. Keep up the good work in these critical times. Says Rosemary and Beau. And Linda LaPointe and Chick Aitchison from St. Petersburg have made a $50 contribution. Loves John Butts. Good to hear him on the radio again.
Thank you.
Linda and Chick. And Jason Bean from Land O'Lakes has just made a $20 contribution. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
The Sustainable Living Program is a great one, and he's been to John's property in the past for a tour.
Thank you, Jason.
And Carol Fields from Lake Placid, Florida, has made a $20 contribution, a supporter of Democracy Now! And a supporter of all M&F's programs. I want true information, writes Carol. Thank you, Carol. And Elisa Priest from Gulfport made a $10 contribution. Thank you. And she really appreciates John Butts and Sean and Fred. So thank you very much, Elisa, for that nice contribution. Well, John, if we get maybe one more donation, I think we'll be there, because we might actually be over the goal. But it's so great to have you. You know, and we're fundraising here at WM&F just for 2 days, and this is the second day of the fund drive, and the fund drive ends tonight. So this 4-hour period from 9 a.m. this morning till 1 p.m. this afternoon, we're trying to raise $8,500. And so far, we've raised $4,000. That's really good. We have another $4,500 to go between now and 1 o'clock. We hope we'll reach that goal. But John Butts, who is the original host of the Sustainable Living Program, is back. And John, one of the shows that always gets people is, how do you make your home energy efficient? Yeah. And you've had so many experts on who talk about making your attic energy efficient, you know, and all the things that you can do to save a ton without going solar. Mm-hmm. You can save a ton of money on electricity, because in the summertime, electric bills are so high for people that are cooling their homes.
Yeah, it's like the reverse of up north. You know, the cooling's your greatest cost, and here, of course, the summers are our greatest cost. And you know, like it's really interesting. You know, that debate about attics. You know, we started off, and everybody said, "Oh, you got to enclose your attics," and now it's kind of rolled back the other way. You know, that it's really important to have your ceilings insulated. But you know, both ways. You know, it's just like you kind of it, it, it's. You know, and I think this is what we all need to do. We need to do this environmental accounting and sustainable ability. You know, everything we look at and say, well, gee whiz, how can I do better? How can I save energy? How can I get off of fossil fuel? You know, I was there the other day at the farm, and you know, it's an unfortunate thing, but a couple of years ago, I got, you know, somebody ripped me off, and he took all my gas tools. Well, you know, I really wasn't using them that much anyhow, and I kind of converted to electric. Well, I'm down to like two gasoline chainsaws, and I'm looking at them, and I said, the heck with this, and I gave one of them away. So I'm down to one chainsaw, but everything else is electric. And it all works great. It's just unbelievable. You know, like this has all happened in 20 years, you know, like that, you know, these battery-powered tools are so powerful and well, and it makes weed whacking fun. You know, you don't mess so with that gas and crap.
Do you have a tractor on your farm?
We got those old tractors, but they usually, we try to keep them in the barn where they belong. But, you know, like a tractor is like, you know, you can imagine, I have a tractor, it's a 1953. And now I don't use it much, but I use it every once in a while. And truthfully, you know, I've always, you know, if I had a little more help, I'd do conversions because you think about, you know, like I go to a lot of auctions and there's always like these electric forklifts. And they give them away because they don't. People want to replace that big battery. But I always thought, well, gee whiz, this is a great. You get all the conversion material to convert your electric, your gas tractor to electric ones. And we've had conversion programs on too with the guy in Crystal River, Steve Lum, or something like that. But it, you know, like you can convert anything. But you see it; it's right there. We're ready, and there are several companies making electric tractors.
Right before the electric tractors, you did programs about biodiesel. You could go around to the restaurants, pick up the fat, unused fat, or used fat rather from the restaurants, and then turn that into biodiesel. Mm-hmm. So at least you weren't pulling oil from the ground.
Yeah. And like I said, that's even when we started, it was a different world than where we are now. And like I say, everything's kind of that way. You know, it's just like before, people go, oh, you know, you need a gas stove and you're not using electricity. Well, if you got solar now, you use an electric stove. And we've had solar programs in the past, and they say, oh, just forget about the solar. You know, like mine is I got an absorber plate, a whole solar system for the water. And they're saying, well, you know, electric power is so cheap through a solar system, you shouldn't even do that. Yeah. Now, you know, I guess that's debatable.
Well, John Butts is here, and we're talking about the history of the Sustainable Living Program and also trying to raise some money here at WMNF. Our phone number, 813-238-8001. Nicholas Windholtz from Lutz has just made an $88.50 donation, and he's part of the March Against Monsanto group. He says, thanks for bringing up neonicotinoids and Roundup and the killing of bees. Cool. Yeah, that's a topic that we talk a lot about on both John's show, the Sustainable Living Program, and we talk about it a lot.
Dr. Harvey is very passionate about this topic too, and that's another thing. You know, like he'll be doing the show next Monday, but this is part of that time slot that is so valuable. You know, I just can't. You know, I sit there and I wait because I want to hear Dr. Harvey kind of bring us up to date with COVID and his views on it. And I really love him. And what an asset for the radio station. Yeah. You know, Eve was great. I loved Eve. But, hey, I really love Dr. Harvey. And, you know, like I say, anybody out there listening, hey, right now you can, hey, send us a little note and send Dr. Harvey a little note that how much you appreciate that health program.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Fred's not going to be able to join us today, but he will be here next week. So if you enjoy listening to the Alternative Health Program with Dr. Fred Harvey, please let us know by making that contribution online. Go to WMNF.org. Every week when Fred is here, he takes probably 30 or 40 phone calls and email questions from listeners and answers them and does a really thorough job based on his knowledge of science and medicine. And we really appreciate what Fred does. Now, speaking of community-based agriculture, the Sweetwater Organic Community Farm at 6942 West Comanche has just made a $105 contribution.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Thank you so much to the great folks at Sweetwater Community Farm right by Tampa International Airport, one of the treasures of the Tampa Bay area.
Yeah, yeah. Rick Martinez started that like 30 years ago. Rick's kind of moved on, but, you know, the farm is alive and well and growing.
And it's a great place to hang out on Sundays and go to the marketplace or go hear live music on Sundays. Annie Ellis from Tampa just made a $100 contribution. Thank you very much. Annie Ellis wants to thank John Butts for being such a contributor to planet. So that's great to hear your voice, says Annie. And then Scott Adams from Rockwood, Tennessee, has just made a $126 contribution. Scott, great to hear from you. Thank you for keeping us on the air. You know, I think sometimes people that are concerned about the environment get a bad rap. If I were to turn over to Rush Limbaugh, or if I were to turn over to the Fox News, they're just all up in arms over environmentalists. And I don't understand why, because what you're trying to do is grow organically, have clean, healthy food, have a sustainable lifestyle, so you're not, so the runoff from your farm doesn't pollute the nearby creek or river. You've done so many great programs. You did a program about solar ovens. How could Rush Limbaugh be upset at solar ovens? So, here's an oven that you can set out in the sunlight and bake bread or bake a stew or cook a stew. And I was amazed. I didn't think it was going to work. And then I saw one, and I thought, oh, my word, how come this isn't everywhere? Solar ovens, I want you to talk about, but also edible plants. You've done a lot of programs about edible plants. They're right here in our backyard. As long as the plant hasn't been treated with pesticides, there's a lot of great things to eat that look like weeds, but they're not.
Bob Lindy just did a free plant walk over there at Sweetwater. It was, maybe a couple, 3 weeks ago, but he was such a fun guest and so funny. It really, just a lover of the planet and the earth and people. And it was so great to see him and talk to him again. And solar, I got to tell you the story about the solar, my first solar oven. Remember 2000 and the time was going to change and everything was going to go to hell.
We thought everything was going to break down.
And at the fairgrounds, they had a little trade show. And Debbie and I, we lived in Tampa at the time. Or did we? No, we lived out there. But we went to it. And, of course, it's like people sowing canned beans and all that. And, we're kind of looking around. Ah, there's nothing here. And I'm walking out and I see the solar oven. I go, wow, Sun Ovens is what it, the brand of it, but it's a really well-made solar oven. And I'm looking at it, but then I look at the price tag and it's over $200. I'm pretty cheap, but anyhow, two months.
That's
after,
what we love about you.
two months after that, I'm at a flea market. I'm walking along and I see this box, solar oven. And the guy looks at me and says, "Yeah, it's a solar oven. I ain't gonna need it. You can give me $20." And to this, actually. I don't want to offend anybody, but the dog drug up a dead rabbit the other day. And it was a fresh kill. Instead of roadkill, it was dog kill. And I cooked that rabbit in the solar oven until it just falls off the bone, and you can take and pick the meat off of it, make a rabbit stew or whatever.
Wow. Well, the other program
But it's that same oven. 20 years
still,
of cooking.
It still works. Well, they don't break down. There's no moving parts.
No.
Solar ovens are amazing. People should check them out online. And then the other, you've done so many great programs, but you've done programs about mushrooms. And there are experts here in the Bay Area around the country that you've brought on that talk about how to identify and who to go to and what books to read about mushrooms.
And anymore
about wild mushrooms.
That's how things are evolving. Now there's a Florida mushroom forum on Facebook, and it's so cool because like there's probably 30 posts a day of people taking pictures. Say, hey, look, I was, what is this mushroom? And then you got all this stuff, 30 comments, 40 comments about what it is, or, don't touch that, throw that down. But it's such a great resource, all this, social media is like anything. It's good and bad, and you got to just kind of dwell on the good.
So if you want to honor John Butts and all the folks that do the Sustainable Living Program, Tanya and Jungle Jay, please call us up at 813-238-8001. We're fundraising here. This is the last day. Tomorrow we will not be fundraising. We're trying to do a series of short drives. We're actually doing less fundraising on the air this fiscal year. than we've done the last few years, partly because of the COVID crisis. We can't have a lot of people in the building. You can't have the big 7-day full court press that we used to do. So we're doing a series of mini fund drives throughout the year. And thanks to Douglas Copeland, he's helping us make this mini drive a success by making a $100 contribution to WMNF. So he's spreading around his government check. He's encouraging others who can do so to do so. And thanks to Anonymous in Clearwater, just made a donation of $10 a month to join the Circle of Friends. Thank you, Anonymous, for that nice contribution. That helps us reach our goal. Our goal for the 4 hours of public affairs today, we want to raise $8,500. We're far past the $4,000 mark. We started at 9 o'clock this morning. We've got 2 hours to go. We've got radioactivity and then midpoint coming up. But if you enjoy listening to WMNF and if you think it serves a need here in the Bay Area, there is no other radio station like MNF with a big signal that reaches 4.4 million people, reaches all the way down to Northport, all the way over to near Disney, and then way up north of Brooksville. Sometimes people in Ocala can pick us up if the weather's right. So it gets all over the Tampa Bay Area. And this is a radio station that was started to be an alternative to commercial radio, started way back in the late 1970s. So far, we've raised $4,900 since we started at 9 o'clock for the news and public affairs. So that means that we've got about $4,000, a little less than $4,000 to raise between now and 1 o'clock. John, it's so great to have you back.
Great to be back, Rob. Thank you very much for what you do, and thank all the listeners and supporters and volunteers here at WMNF.
And John lives the lifestyle he talks about. So can people still visit your farm?
Oh, yeah. Just try to get a hold of me, ecofarmsfl@yahoo.com.
All right. Well, John Butts, thanks a lot. And thanks for helping out during the fund drive.
Thank you, Rob.
You're listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg. In this time slot next week, we'll hear from Dr. Fred Harvey, MD. Fred wasn't able to make it today, but he'll be here next week taking your calls, and we will not be interrupting you asking for money. We will just be providing you with quality information. So we hope you like the station. This is 88.5 FM, WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg. Stay tuned for Radioactivity coming up right after the NPR News.